Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? God, where would we be without music? Where would we be without the words of song that you poured into somebody's heart to put to a tune and that their spirit could breathe through? The subject matter is awesome and perfect. It's you, Lord. And we're so glad that we can sing praises to you. Lord, I ask this morning as we begin to focus on your word and your will for us this day, that you are allowed to move here freely, to talk to our hearts, to touch our spirits, and to meet our needs. Come inside us, Lord, and live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. I have to ask you a question this morning. How big is your God? Hear me say that again. How big is your God? The scriptures proclaim God's vastness. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, I read. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and might, strength, not one of them is missing. Is that how big your God is? Stephen and Susan saying, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe proclaim. Can we even begin to comprehend the vastness of the universe and that God made it and he holds it and he sustains it and he names the stars and he causes the sun to rise and fall on the axis of the earth? Is that how big God is? 2 weeks ago, when Dick delivered his message, he talked about the wonder of God and the enormity of creation. Does God's immensity and the way scriptures describe God and his power and might capture who he is? You know, in the forefront of the question is God's character and his qualities and his attributes, and we know his love, and we could expand on so much more. That he sent his son Jesus into a world to restore a broken relationship by giving his life, taking our place, taking our sin, and dying for us on the cross. We teach our children of God's love and his bigness. You remember that song? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. You know, we learned those songs and we taught them because we wanted them to capture the essence of God and who he is. The countless hymns that we sing on Sundays, they describe God's vastness and they portray a God so much bigger than who we are. But I think we really miss the crux of the question. The question isn't how big is God. The question is how big is your God? How big is my God? We have the answer before us in scriptures. The real question is, how big is your God? How big is mine? God's size is vastness. It's fixed in its unlimitlessness. We can't change a thing about God and his character and who he is. But how do we see God? How do you believe God? And you know, the reality is all of our gods, capital G, are different. Because we have different perspectives. God is all powerful. But for me, for you, how we see the power and his connection, how it impacts our lives, is different to each of us. I have to confess, there are times in my life that God is not very big. Some of the things I have had to deal with have brought questions of God's care and love, of God's ability to intervene, of God's control on all things that go on in the world. And I have to tell you that whether you admit it or not, you've probably felt your God a little smaller than you'd like him to be. And here we are as Christians. We profess faith and trust in Christ and in God, and yet we at times can wrestle with God's goodness. His love, even his compassion and his control of things, we can question those. And what that causes within us is sometimes a passive, fatalistic faith of, why should I bring my prayers to God? It doesn't change anything. Why should I read his word? Because all it does is get my hopes up. And I don't want to have my hopes dashed. So I don't hope. I want to read a familiar story to you from the book of John. And if you have your Bibles, you're sure welcome to follow along in John in chapter 11. By the way, I wrestle with this idea of putting my notes on the screen. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's just not been for me. I mean, I've oftentimes written sermons in past where I was at and tried to put them up on the screen, and I found out before the end of the week God was changing it so much my notes didn't make any sense. So that's just kind of where I'm at. But from John chapter 11, listen to this. Now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany in the village of Mary and his sister Mary, Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone, and yet you are going back there?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. Is it not when he walks by night that he stumbles? For he has no light." And after he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." And his disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death. But disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that many of you may believe. But let us go see him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And in verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We read this story and we say to ourselves, wow, I know what those gals were feeling. Where are you, God? Why can't we depend upon you? I stopped there intentionally in the text. In the reading of this text, and that's where most of our faith goes. It stops right there. We turn to God for help, and it feels like he's let us down. And the last part of the story is so good, but we know that my Lazarus didn't come out of the grave. Why is it these situations don't come to me? Because I have faith. My pain in my heart is breaking because my loved one isn't here anymore. My marriage is by no means an example for anyone, let alone my children. I need your help. My finances stink, and nothing ever changes. It's early in the semester, and my grades are already at the bottom of the drum. There's so much war and evil out there. When is Israel and the rest of the Arab countries going to just learn to live at peace with each other? When will there be no more radical evil groups like ISIS that just kill because they hate? You plug in your problem. What's heavy on your heart? What you struggle with? Your never-changing situation. And I guarantee you that if it's close to the heart, sometimes we're tempted to doubt and to question God. We in many ways can be trapped Christians who want to trust and believe, but wonder if his bigness ever even comes close to us, comes close to you. And so we become passive. Passive Christians, passive followers of Christ, not willing to hope or to trust or to pray because we're not absolutely confident that our lives are in the hands of a perfectly competent and capable God. God becomes smaller in our eyes, and we live our lives accordingly as Christians as a direct consequence of the size of our God. If you wake up tomorrow morning with a view of a shrinking God or a shrunken God, you're going to live in constant state of fear and anxiety. Everything's going to depend upon you. You're going to be governed by your fear and your circumstances. If you get a chance to share your faith with someone else, you're going to always be thinking about, what do they think of me? It's all going to depend upon you. You're not going to be generous in your giving. Your financial security will always depend upon you and your abilities. When you're going to need to give somebody a strong word of confrontation or challenge, you're going to want to pull your punches. If you don't live in the security of what a big God thinks of you, you're going to become a slave to everyone else's opinion of you. If someone gets mad at you, you're going to get all twisted because you don't have the security of knowing that it's what God thinks of you that's really important. When we shrink God, we offer prayers without faith, worship without awe, service without joy, and we experience suffering without hope. It results in fear, retreat, loss of vision, a failure to persevere. The little God syndrome is misery and tragedy. If you live a Christian life with a small God, you live a small life. Now, here's what I've accomplished in the past few minutes. I've helped you put your eyes on yourself and your problems and those of the world. I've led you to become self-focused. Some of you are saying, it seems so hopeless. What a terrible, broken world we live in, and I'm doomed to feel powerless, to have a powerless existence with a God who is just as powerless or doesn't care. Some of you are saying under your breath, why is he up there preaching today? All he's doing is pulling us down. Some of you are saying, been there, done that. I've fretted, I've worried, I've felt powerless, but no more. You have said the bigness of my God is not contingent on what I feel or think. My Bible tells me that God is real, that he's strong and he's mighty, that he's ruler of the universe and he loves me and he cares for me. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do for you and you and you. You say, I can't remember the last time I felt like God cared for me. The truth is, our feelings deceive us. John Piper said that every day God is doing perhaps 10,000 different things in your life. But we in our limitlessness are only dimly aware of perhaps two or three. God is there. He is working in your life. He does care. The numbers I used are arbitrary, but the point is absolutely right. We barely get a glimmer of all that God is doing in us and through us and to us and for us. We're like little kids peering through a keyhole, and at best we see a little sliver of what lies on the other side of the door. We often mistake that sliver for the whole spectrum of reality and what God is doing. But there's so much more. God knows what he is doing even when we don't. He's never clueless, even when we don't have a clue. Listen to the back part of this text that I started reading to you from Isaiah 40 this morning. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not be faint. We can become so like the Israelites who thought God had forgotten them and didn't care about his promises. We can be so like Mary and Martha and think, Jesus, where are you? I think we need to be a little more like the father, the gospel writer Mark described, who had a son who was tormented by an evil spirit, who came to Jesus and asked the same wimp with the same wimpiness that sometimes we're prone to. If you can do anything, Jesus, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, and I can just hear him say it, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. And then the Father said the most amazing, humble statement that I think is the whole of the Bible. I do believe, Lord. Help me overcome my unbelief. Gosh. I find myself there so often. And I find grace and I find forgiveness for my attitudes and my thoughts. You know, my God, your God is as big as you allow him to be. If we have a big God, we live a life of risky faith, fearless obedience, awestruck worship, and passionate evangelism. We bring our strong faith, and we bring our wimpy, passive faith to the same unchanging God. You know, our circumstances should only dictate one thing to us: the need to come to a limitless, matchless, powerful, loving, forgiving, empowering God. One of my favorite verses is simply this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full and have it more abundantly, one translation says. Yes, Satan plays a role in leading us to doubt God, in shrinking the size of our God. But we just kind of nestle up to him and buy what he says sometimes. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life, not an existence, not a lukewarm, passive faith, a lukewarm, passive, faithless style of living, not, but a fully empowered, abundant life. I have given you no formula this morning through your troubles. There isn't bullet point 1, 2, 3. No steps to peace in this world. And the reality is some things will never change. And answers to prayer will again feel like they have fallen on deaf ears. They will always be painful. There will always be suffering, at least this side of heaven. But I believe we don't swim away from the life preserver, we swim to it. And we cling to it, and we cling to God, and we cling to Jesus. You know, there's stories throughout the New Testament when the authors were dealing with churches that were struggling with persecution and their faith was wavering. And the gospel writers and the epistles that John wrote and James and John wrote were trying to encourage their churches and their believers and their individuals to persevere. And we have to persevere. But I also believe our God needs to grow in us. How's he going to grow in us? I can give you a list of umpteen things, but it all comes down to how much we trust God. We spend time in prayer like Pastor Terry used to talk about. We spend time in the Word. We strive for a growing relationship with God. The Lord promised, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, atheists say that Christians only believe in God because they need an emotional crutch. They may be partially right. I need a God who is there for me, not only in the bad times, but in the good. I need a God who reminds me and speaks to me and says, I'm in control. That I've got you covered with my love and forgiveness. I've got you covered with my power. The power of the one who created the universe. And the power of my Son, Jesus Christ. I want to sing a song for you, and I want you to listen to this because it talks about the problems that we face in our world. And it simply goes like this. A mother barely 20 out there on her own. A teenage boy in prison before he's even grown. The illness of a loved one, a widow no one calls. But there is one solution, one answer for it all. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope, there is strength, and victory to claim. There is healing. In his holy presence, there is power in his name. A nation needing mercy, fighting for her life. A church that needs revival, a broken man and wife. Oh, but in the name of Jesus, chains of bondage fall. Prayers are heard and answered when God's children call. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope, there is strength, and victory to claim. There is healing in his holy presence. There is power in his name. There is power in his name. Do you believe that? Do you believe it enough to let your God grow in you? You know, God is never forces his hand on us. Tomorrow we'll walk out of here, and there may be a tragedy that enters your life, and you're going to be tempted so much again to grow weak and to wonder and question whether God's good in the midst of stuff. And my call to you is take that opportunity to cling to this God you claim loves you and has power for your life. He can. He will. He does get involved in our life in ways that we can't even comprehend. Father, I thank you that in my heart I can say to you, I've doubted you. But it is in those doubts, God, that I found that I have no place else to turn but to you. Your power has been made evident in this universe that you created. Your power has been made evident in the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us. Your word is such a source of strength. And we've got a wonderful church here that we can turn to and ask people to come alongside, to love us and support us through those difficult times, to keep you from getting any smaller. We need you as big as you are. And I praise you that you're not finished with me yet. And I ask these things as I sang in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.